The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to talk some football. Welcome to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with former Buffalo Bill Jeff Nixon. Get ready to participate in an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the NFL in general. Now, here's your host, Jeff Nixon.
Hey, welcome to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. I have a tremendous guest with me today. He was a football player with the Buffalo Bills. His name is Cornelius Bennett, and he played for the University of Alabama from 1983 to 1986. He was a first selection of on the College All-American team three times in 1984 through 1986. As a senior, he won the Lombardi Award. He was the SEC Player of the Year, and he finished seventh in balloting for the Heisman Trophy. He played for the Buffalo Bills from 1987 to 1995, the Atlanta Falcons from 1996 to 1998, and the Indianapolis Colts from 1999 to 2000. Cornelius has made the Pro Bowl five times. He was elected in 1988 and also in 1990 through 1993, and he won the AFC Defensive Player of the Year award twice in 1988 and 1991. In the NFL, Bennett's talent at the left outside linebacker position helped the teams he played for to five Super Bowl appearances, four with Buffalo and one with Atlanta. But unfortunately, they lost all those. In his 14 NFL seasons, he recorded 71.5 sacks, seven interceptions, 27 fumble recoveries, and he had three touchdowns. Cornelius, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, so you're down there in Miami right now, I assume you're going to the Super Bowl.
No, I have no plans on it, Jeff. Actually, this is where I make my home now. I've been down here a few years.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were living in Alabama.
It's too cold up that way. Actually, it's cold and wet here today. It kind of reminds me of a wet spring day in Buffalo.
Yeah, the South has been getting a little bit of cold weather there. I got a brother that lives in Virginia, and they had like a half a foot of snow just the other day. It's amazing what's going on. But well, that's good. Whereabouts in Florida are you? Are you right in Miami?
Actually, I was. Now I live in Hollywood, Florida.
Hollywood.
I didn't make enough money to live in Hollywood, California, so I'm in Hollywood, Florida.
So will you be going to the Super Bowl?
No, I've never been to a Super Bowl without playing in it. I actually went to the Pro Bowl on yesterday because my 10-year-old son wanted to go, and that was the first time I'd been to a postseason game without playing in one.
Yeah, you know, I watched the Pro Bowl yesterday, and I know I talked to a lot of people today about it, and they said, boy, it didn't seem like the guys were really playing that hard, and and obviously they don't want to get injured because you don't want to end your career in a game that's meaningless, basically. It's a great honor to play in, and obviously you played in some of them. But what is the mentality of the guys before the game? I mean, do you guys say to each other, hey, look, let's take it easy on each other out here. Let's just, play a good, clean game. What's the thought?
Well, when I played, the one thing that you didn't want to do was cut someone or get cut. And that was like the only real no-no when I played. Other than that, you went out and played because, I mean, that's what we do, and injuries are a part of the game. But, the mentality is a little bit different now, and the money is so much bigger. The risk of injury, it definitely plays a part in the game now. It's sad to say that, but I think it's just the way the game has evolved. The protection of the game from the standpoint of the owners, trying to look out for the players or whatever, and it's just become a part of their mentality. They're still warriors in my book, but, just a different type.
Yeah, and I understand where they're coming from on that. It's amazing. 40% of the players that were elected to play in the Pro Bowl this year did not play, and I think a lot of guys, You know, if they've got a little bit of an injury, they're not going to want to go. And I can understand that. You just have too much to lose by playing in a game like that and then getting injured. So,
but it's been like that.
You know, I think it's great for the guys. You know, obviously you got the best players in the NFL that are gathered together. It's just a fun event for the players. I don't know how many of the fans really enjoyed all of the playing. There were some good plays. Don't get me wrong. There were some exciting plays in the game, but you could see on a couple plays they were going pretty easy on each other.
But you know, I mean, it's the Pro Bowl has been around for a long time, and you know, we've all went out there and taken a chance, risk life and limb per se. You know, when you go out on the football field, that's the end of time, and I don't think it should be made a mockery of, because it is such an esteemed honor to have a chance to play in the Pro Bowl. Because that's how you make your next big contract. You know, you want those awards and those accolades. And to not go because of a nick, everybody at the end of the year is nicked and banged up. I just think, the commissioner, as stern as he's been with finding guys or whatever, I think that in a sense, you know, the competition committee should find a way to get those guys on the field, if it's just for a little while. But the fans, you know, if they're going to allow the fans to vote them, they should see them also. If not, take the vote away from the fans again and put it back in the hands of the players and the coaches. And, you know, to me, from a fan standpoint, now being retired, you know, I don't want a guy to be named and he's not showing up. You know, the quarterback situation, they're going to have to go get college quarterbacks to play after a while, because I think they had to go through about 15 quarterbacks to fill the rosters this year. So, you know, in my eyes, if they can back out of it, then the other guys are going to do it, you know, because, you know, we've always looked at quarterbacks. They always get preferential treatment anyway, per se, and you don't want to say, well, if he can't do it, I don't want to do it either. Or if he does it, I want to do it. So it kind of goes hand in hand, and I think that's why guys at other positions are starting to back out now, because the quarterbacks are not playing.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. Also, obviously, because they're playing the Pro Bowl the week before the Super Bowl, the guys that are on either of the teams, either New Orleans or Baltimore Colts, so they can't play in it. They're still going to get paid, which is good, but so you're missing those guys too. Obviously, it would have been nice to see someone like Peyton Manning out there playing and Drew Brees, but the way they set it up this year. Now, next year, for the next 2 years, it's going back to Hawaii. They haven't determined whether or not they're going to play the game before the Super Bowl or after, but you know, either way, it's good. I think it's just great that they do get a chance to get together all the guys that are, because after a game, you don't really get a chance to talk to these guys. You don't really get a chance to know who they are and what they're like, and that's a great opportunity for the guys that are playing to be able to see each other and just talk to each other and maybe get some good advice on both playing and things that they can do and with their investments and business after they're done playing. But let's talk about your early years. You actually played halfback while you were in high school.
Yeah.
And mentioned in your – I went to Wikipedia, and obviously they had a lot of information there about you. You played basketball, baseball. But when you went to the University of Alabama, what did they recruit you as? What did they want you to play?
Well, basically, it was running back and tight end. Running back, tight end, and linebacker, I guess I should say. And we were supposed to have a little trial and error at each position, and not in the order that I mentioned. We end up trying linebacker first, which I, you know, now being a 44-year-old man, that was their intentions from the beginning. But to get me to commit, I think that was the thing they did, say that they would give me a chance, because I really wanted to play tight end more than anything.
Is that right? You like the tight end position?
Yes,
huh?
I did. I was a big fan of, you know, the tight ends of the 80s, Billy Joe Dupree and Jack Smith and all those guys back in the day. Christensen and all those cats. So I wanted to be like those pass catching tight ends. I can remember as a kid, you know, Russ Francis being called all world. That just excited me, because that was the first real position that I played. But when I got to college, Ray Perkins, who was my college coach, had coached Lawrence Taylor with the Giants, and he decided that I kind of fit that mold of a Lawrence Taylor. You know, big, strong, fast, aggressive, and from the first day on, it's been linebacker ever since.
Wow. And you had a really successful career there with with Alabama. Not career, but playing days with Alabama. Actually winning the Lombardi Trophy. That goes to the best defensive player of the year or during?
It was actually before I won the award. It has been annually given to defensive linemen. I was the first linebacker to ever win the award.
Oh, is that right? That's
yes.
That's interesting. I never knew that. That's yes. So now they can give that to anybody on defense.
I think it's still reserved just for linemen or linebackers. But
linemen or linebackers.
Yes,
I was
the first linebacker to win award.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, we're gonna take a real quick break here in just a few seconds here, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the Heisman Trophy and what that was like being nominated for that and being on the ballot. You're listening to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't even talk or use
my voice. The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
There are all kinds of questions pertaining to health and wellness. What most people don't realize is that there are a lot of treatments that they can do themselves. Tune in to For Your Health with Dr. Mark Larson to discover these treatments and the answers to many of your questions about health. Topics covered will run the gamut from alternative medicine to the science of modern medicine. So be sure to tune in every week. For Your Health airs live every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, Grand Am, or even Lambo racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, the host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster around the world to work each week to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing, while also never forgetting the local weekend warriors. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
Oh, crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with Jeff Nixon. It's your turn to get in on today's discussion. Call Jeff now, toll free, at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also drop an email to jeffnixon@aol.com. Now, back to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Hey, welcome back to the show. My guest today, Cornelius Bennett, played for the Buffalo Bills from 1987 to 1995, the Atlanta Falcons from 96 to 98, and finally with the Indianapolis Colts, who are in the Super Bowl from 1999 to 2000. He was a five-time Pro Bowler, and he was also AFC Defensive Player of the Year twice in 88 and 1991. Right before the break, we were talking, Cornelius, about your college football career at the University of Alabama, and you finished seventh in balloting for the Heisman. Did you think there was a chance you might actually win the Heisman that year? I mean, were you? Sounds like you were in contention for it.
Well, not really, Jeff. I just always considered it a great honor, especially being a defensive player. I think, you know, up until then, Hugh Green had finished second, I think, a couple of years in a row, if I'm not mistaken, and he was, you know, the highest defensive player before myself. And it was just a great honor to be even mentioned in the Heisman ballot, and you know, to be on the ballot at all. But I never considered it, and you know, it helped tremendously. You know, pre-draft, I guess. You know, looking at it from a business standpoint, you know, those accolades, you know, they're good to have before the draft because it did help me to be the second player picked in the draft that year.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the things I read too, you were elected to the College Football Hall of Fame. You had because of the tremendous career you had in college, but they talked about this one game, and it mentions here in 1986 you leveled the Notre Dame quarterback Steve Berline, and they called it, it was simply known as the sack.
Uh-huh.
And there's some other things in here where they had names for certain things you did, but that must be nice to know that they actually named a specific play the sack.
it's a huge painting in the University of Alabama Sports Museum, what Paul Bryant Museum, I guess it would be called, a famous painter in the South that's done numerous portraits of big plays from basically the Alabama-Auburn series. His name is Daniel Moore. He painted the portrait, and he named it the sack. And if you YouTube it, it gets thousands of hits a month on YouTube. It was electrifying play to look back on it. But, you know, when you're playing, Jeff, it's just another play in your eyes. But, he helped make it to where I live on, forever with Alabama fans.
It's interesting when you're done playing and you're out of the league for 5 or 6 years. It's always nice to go back from time to time and just look at that kind of stuff. You know, I've got a few things on YouTube that I did that were kind of, the highlights of my career, and it's just it seems like you're more proud of them, I think, after you've been away from the league for 10 years, 15, in my case, what, 25 some years now that I've been out of the league. But those are things you always remember. The things that haunt you, you always obviously are reminded about. You played in 4 Super Bowls here with the Bills, was not able to win any of them, but is there anything that stands out in your mind from any of those games that just comes to your mind right now?
Even though all the outcomes were losses, I never, and I don't think any of my teammates at that time, went into a game, won the Super Bowls or any game, thinking that we were going to lose the game. After the second Super Bowl, after we lost the second one, hey, let's go back again. We get this thing right. Even after the fourth loss, let's go back again the next year. But I think, the league was tired of us representing the AFC in the Super Bowl, and they gave us hectic schedule the following year to kind of combat us from going back to a fifth Super Bowl. But, it's just the memories of it, the teammates, the looking guys' eyes in the huddle, those things that help us get there, knowing that you trust that guy next to you and that guy trusts the guy next to him. It was just a tremendous feeling. And then I got a chance to go back again in 98 with the Falcons, and it was the same feeling all over again.
Yeah. Well, it's fantastic for the player that can make it. And there are so many guys that play and have long careers in the NFL that never get a chance to play in a Super Bowl. And so it's just got to be amazing. I mean, I don't think there will ever be another team that can go 4 consecutive times. I mean, what a feat and what an accomplishment by the Bills during that time. And I was here in Buffalo and I was cheering for you guys. And even though you never won a Super Bowl, we can always say we were the team that went 4 straight times, overcoming tremendous odds to get back the third and the fourth time. And it was just, you guys are just going to be remembered forever for that team that, was able to do that and accomplish that. Even though we didn't win, it was still it did so much for the city of Buffalo here, too. I don't know if you guys realize just how much it got people around here excited. And it was just something, again, I don't think will ever be accomplished by any other team. They might go to 2, maybe 3, but never 4. At least that's my thought on it.
It was a great time, Jeff. Those memories are forever embedded in my mind. Hanging out over Jim Kelly's house after a championship game, especially the first one. I can remember that night like it was yesterday, man. I mean, you had pretty much the whole organization over at Jim Kelly's house celebrating, like we did so often at his house. It was just it was a great night. Memories that, like I said, that'll last a lifetime. Jim, he would open up his home to us as players and administrators for the Buffalo Bills, and it was a safe haven for us. And boy, it was just a great time, and I'll forever cherish that.
Yeah, I went over to a few of his parties during my after I retired, and it was rather interesting that, and I really think that kind of helped the team pull together. I know that there were some incidents that took place out in the public, and Jim just got tired of people, trying to sue him and just bothering him. And I'm sure a lot of the other players, Because what was happening in the NFL is there was just so much notoriety, you know, and people wanted to be connected. And you know how it is. There's hanger-ons, and there's people that want to just be close to you, and they want to say, I know Cornelius Bennett, and they're you know, and then there's other people that want to take advantage of the situation. And I think, you know, it was a good thing that Jim did to build, you know, just basically his own nightclub down in his basement. And it was kind of fun going down there and having a party there after a game or, you know, after a playoff game or something. It was just, it was really special. But I think that kind of pulled the team together, and I think it brought togetherness to you guys. Do you think that's true?
No doubt about it. You know, we're all still close today. That core group of guys that Coach Levy was able to keep together for those number of years, you know, we still stay close together. Today, you know, we see each other a couple of times a year at different different golf tournaments or whatever. But that closeness was something that did take us over the hump each and every year. And that was one thing when I left Buffalo, I expected to be present when I first went to Atlanta, and it was nowhere in sight. And it took, my third year in Atlanta for us to have that closeness. And Dan Reeves was a big part of it. He was an old school guy, and he believed in having a good core group of guys.
Yeah.
And we built that up, and we made it to the Super Bowl again. You know, I lost another Super Bowl, but it was a great experience. No matter how you look at it, and I can remember Eric Dickerson in '90. You know, down here in Miami for the '98 season Super Bowl, and that was the year he got elected to the Hall of Fame, and I congratulated him, and he was like, yeah, man, he said, but you're getting a chance to play in another Super Bowl.
Right, right.
And I thought that was unbelievable.
Yeah, that's interesting you brought up Eric Dickerson. You were selected by the Colts in the second pick of the 1987 NFL draft, and you guys weren't able to really come to an agreement on a contract, so you were dealt to the Bills from the Colts in a three-way trade that also included Eric Dickerson.
Yes.
and Greg Bell. And the trade occurred in the fall of the 98 season, just before the trade deadline, and they said a lot of people have called that the trade of the decade. So how did you feel about that, going from the Colts to the Bills?
Eric and I, we see each other all the time, you know. It was a great move for me, and I don't think he liked it at first, but after, you know, we ended up having some success, some moderate success in Indianapolis. You know, they could never beat us or whatever, but it worked out great for me and the Buffalo Bills. I ended up spending my last 2 years back in Indianapolis, but under different management, of course. You know, it was just a tough time for me as a college kid. I'm dealing with the elders say, you know, it's always problems trying to get a deal done. But the son, Jim, he's a tremendous owner, and he welcomed me back like nothing had ever happened. It was some nasty name calling back when I was trying to sign with the Colts right out of college. But it was all forgiven, and we had two wonderful years there, my 2 years in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and so now I'm assuming you're maybe, I could be assuming wrong here, but are you hoping the Colts win this Super Bowl?
I guess because, I played with Peyton, I think it's one or two, and Jeff Saturday, they were teammates of mine, and then one of my college teammates is an assistant coach there, and Pete Mathelars is there. Most of the coaches are still around up there, so I guess I would have some ties to the coach, but it's not going to make my life any better one way or the other.
Well, yeah.
If it's going to increase my pension benefits or whatever, I'll pull for the Colts.
Well, yeah, and I tell people, I say, unless the Bills are in the Super Bowl, I don't care really who wins. I want to see a great game. I want to see it come right down to the wire. I want to see a game like the 1991 Super Bowl when, you know, unfortunately, the Giants beat us with the last second. Well, I mean, they with a missed field goal in the last seconds of the game. But I want to see a game, you know, that goes right down to the wire. I think it's good for the sport, you know, and obviously we want to see as many revenues come into the sport as possible, because the more revenues that come in, the more they have to work with, and maybe they can throw us a bone as far as retired players and increase our pensions. Who knows? I mean, those are all... so I want to see the game, you know, get better. I want to see it become exciting and have tremendous Super Bowls. There were a lot of years there where the Super Bowl was just so lopsided.
Right.
You'd see one team just rout another. That was so bad. And this Super Bowl, I think, is going to set records. I really do. You got the two top quarterbacks in the NFL going head to head. You got both of them have got pretty good defenses. You know, although the Colts they've had some issues with, you know, against the run, but and obviously they haven't been a very good running offense either. But that's only because Peyton Manning is such a great quarterback and he throws the ball quite a bit, and so you're not going to get, you know, a lot of work out of your running back. But
right.
I just want to see a good Super Bowl. I want to see it come right down to the wire.
Yeah, so do I. That's the first time since 93 that two number one seeds are in the Super Bowl. So it should be. You know, on paper it looks like a great matchup. I hope you know that it's dry so we can see, you know, the ball in the air a lot because of the two high powered offenses. But you know, when you talk about the weather, whatever, Peyton Manning, you know, from the Super Bowl here a couple of years ago, he had a big night in the rain, and I don't know if Drew Brees, you know, is ready for that kind of weather.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, let our sponsors do a few ads here, and then when we come back, we'll talk some more about your Super Bowl appearances. You're with the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. We'll be back in just a moment.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Total career success. What does it mean to you? Voice America presents a radio program dedicated to help you achieve your career goal. Even in times of economic uncertainty, you can achieve your financial goals. Whether you're a college grad, new in the working environment, or a top-level executive, you will benefit from the practical and proven advice on job search and career advancement. Join Ken and Cheryl Dawson every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, for Total Career Success on Voice America.
Stop wasting time. Get what you want. Live your dream life. The Dream Big Revolution. Imagine having more freedom, better health, more money, happiness. Could your business be more successful? Unless you're living the life you want, you're wasting precious time. Your life is too valuable to waste. Let Leanne Hilgers help you find health, wealth, and happiness. Listen in and live your dream life. Join the Dream Big Revolution. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Seventh Wave Network.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with Jeff Nixon. It's your turn to get in on today's discussion. Call Jeff now, toll-free, at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also drop an email to jeffnixon@aol.com. Now, back to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Cornelius Bennett is my guest today. He played for the Buffalo Bills from 1987 to 1995. He was with the Atlanta Falcons from 96 to 98, the Colts from 99 to 2000, and he was a five-time Pro Bowler. And right before the break, we were talking about the Super Bowl, and you played in your first Super Bowl with the Bills against the New York Giants, and that was what a heartbreaking game. I really think it was one of the most exciting Super Bowls in really almost the history of the NFL, but unfortunately the Bills came out on the losing end of that. But it was still a great accomplishment, you know, for this team to finally get there. And it's been really tough for the Bills over the past 10 years. We have not been to the playoffs in a 10-year stretch now, and it's one of the longest dry spells that any NFL team has had. And I'm hoping that Chan Gailey, the new head coach here in Buffalo, can do something. You got any advice for these guys up here, Cornelius?
Oh, you know, I guess I was kind of disappointed. To be honest with you, I was kind of disappointed with the hiring of Chan Gailey. You know, to me, his record is you know just average in my opinion.
Yeah,
I thought they should go out and get one of these aggressive young coaches that's out there. I mean, that seems to me to be the way to go. Old school. I don't know what the thinking was behind it or whatever, but I can remember playing for Jim Mora Sr., and I was telling him about the new breed of athletes, what I saw in the locker room as a 13-year veteran at the time we had this discussion. The kids are just totally different, mentality, the way you could talk to them or whatever. I mean, you know, some kids, you know, they can't have the hollering and screaming and cursing. I don't know if that's Chan's style of coaching or what, but, you know, I was kind of disappointed. I'm hoping against hope that he does step in and do a great job. But the first thing I think they need to do is go out and solidify the quarterback position. You know and I know, whether or not you want to admit it or not, you know, the quarterback is the backbone of the team. You look at the coach, you look at New Orleans. New Orleans was mediocre before Drew Brees got there. You know, most of the talent they have there was already there when they were struggling with quarterback position. The coach just keep going on and on. You know, you've lost two Hall of Famers in Indianapolis and Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison over the years, but the coach are back in the Super Bowl again. So the quarterback position, to me, is the number one position, you know, because the team rallies around a great quarterback. And if they don't, in Buffalo, go out and solidify the quarterback position, I think it's going to be the same as we've seen the last few years.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right with that. And, you know, Trent Edwards, he showed some promise, you know, the year before, and then he was starting quarterback on into the season, and it just for some reason fell apart there, and we're not really sure why. You know, the offensive line was definitely an issue here in Buffalo. We had a lot of injuries. We were not able to protect the quarterback, and I don't know if we're going to be able to solve that problem next year. So one of the things I think they're going to have to do is they're going to have to find a quarterback who's got some mobility. And
well,
and I've said this to people up here, and I get some criticism for it, but I would love to see Buffalo bring Michael Vick in here and try to see if they could, you know, turn him into the starting quarterback. I think the guy's got tremendous skills still. I think he showed it this year with Philadelphia. And I tell people, look, the guy paid his price. He went to jail. You know, he has done everything he can to show that he's committed to turning himself around and just, you know, concentrating on being a good football player and a good citizen. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't watch enough football, you know, but, you know, he's a tremendous talent. But, you say he's showing promise to talk about Trent Edwards or whatever, you know. I don't, you know, football careers are too short to have a whole lot of guys on your team that's showing promise and hoping for next year or whatever. you either can get it done or you can't. You know, you could be
right.
A starter, or you're going to be a backup, or you're not going to play at all. And Buffalo, you know, it's time for them to move away from having backups and starting jobs, if you understand where I'm coming from with that. You know, you got to go out and get the number one guy.
Bills are going to have a pretty high draft choice. I think they're like seventh or ninth this coming year, and there's some guys coming out of college that have some potential. But I don't. You know, again, if you bring a rookie in here, it's very unlikely he's going to be ready.
Yeah,
to,
I don't think you know that there's that many. Well, the defense in Buffalo is not good enough for them to allow them to have a rookie, you know, quarterback. Say like the Jets had with Sanchez this year. You know, he struggled midway through the season, but their defense was so good that it allowed them a chance to almost make it to the Super Bowl. So, you can't Buffalo doesn't have that luxury to allow a rookie quarterback to come in and get his feet on them. I think you know go out and trade for you know a decent veteran quarterback who can come in and groom a young quarterback along the way, and if that veteran were to go down, you know, he could step in and do a good job for him. But to start the season off with a true rookie at quarterback, the success rate is not that good. Even Peyton Manning, his rookie year, his you know worst year of his career, I know he wish he could take it back, or probably would have stayed on the sideline so he could you know learn what happens in an NFL football game.
Yeah, that's a good point. The one thing that Sanchez had going for him, too, is they had the number one rushing offense exactly. in the NFL. If you can have that, that takes a lot of the pressure off the rookie quarterback. We don't in Buffalo. We just didn't have a good enough running offense to help Trent out in that respect. But you're right. It all starts with the quarterback. They got to find a guy that's a leader that can come in and I really think that there's going to be some guys out there that are coming on off of other teams that. You know, could start here in Buffalo. I think they need a veteran in there, somebody that's had some experience. And I think that's one of the things they were looking for when they hired Chan Gailey. I wasn't too excited about his hiring either, to be quite honest with you. But he is a head coach. And the problem the Bills have had in their last two hires is they pulled from the ranks of the coordinator position. And they had, they went with Greg Williams and he had just been a coordinator and they went with Mike Mularkey, and he had been a coordinator. And so, now I think they're saying, look, let's get a guy that it's at least has had some head coach experience. But I agree with you, Cornelius. You need a guy, I think a younger guy. I was hoping they were going to get the guy from Minnesota,
Leslie Frazier, yeah.
Leslie Frazier, yeah. I was like, man, this guy is young. He'll be able to relate to the players a lot better. He just seemed like the ideal candidate, and then all of a sudden it just, the talk about him disappeared, and boom, next thing you know, they got Chan Gailey in here, and I can tell you the people up here were not too excited about that, but what can you do? I mean, he's who we have now, and I just hope that they, can have some success. But like you said, it all starts with the quarterback, and they got to do something about the defense.
Well, that coaching, it's a fraternity, and I don't know the relationship between the general manager and Chan, but I bet they have a long story of friendship somewhere down the road. And it becomes an easy choice when you're friends with someone, but sometimes you have to make the tough choice. The tough choice is the right choice, sometimes when it comes to a position like that. And if it doesn't fare well, the general manager, the head coach, go, in my opinion, all the time, it's how to fire the general manager also, because he's the one that hired himself. We'll see what happens, and I wish the team the best. I see Mr. Wilson, and I can remember the handshakes and Leonard Smith giving Mr. Wilson a high five, the happy days. And when I see him, when I see him in his 90s now, he deserves it. He paid his dues, he started out, he wasn't liked, and, ended up doing the right thing, and we had some great success, and it'll be a shame for the Bills not to get back to winning in his later years right here. I mean, because he did it the right way, in my opinion. He paid his dues. And he deserves to be a winner.
Right, right, absolutely. Hey, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now. Since you've been retired, I know that you were one of our key representatives on the National Football League Players Association Steering Committee. This is a group of players that kind of represent retired players with the NFLPA. What else have you been doing as far as business-wise?
Just when I was playing, I always tinkered in real estate a little bit. Right now, I'm just basically a stay-at-home father, man. I take my kids to school every day. I didn't squander away my earnings.
Good.
So I just do a lot of, I do a lot of speaking. I guess that would be my employment. I'm going a few days a month speaking, but more than anything, I found a true passion in helping my brothers, my retired NFL, playing brothers. After a year out of football, I decided to jump back in, and I was a union rep my last few years playing. And I served 6 years on the National Steering Committee trying to make life better for retired players. And I was on the Alliance. I'm on the Alliance. It's just a group. Most guys that are retired think, we were appointed. Just a group, a round table that we sit in, discuss things. And out of those discussions, Jeff, we've been able to get the 88 plan, the replacement surgeries, and now we're working on what to do with this with the concussions right now. So
right.
I feel very fortunate to be able to help my brothers. I've taken some criticism because people think that Gene Upshaw selected me. He did not. I was selected by the body that was at the convention the two times that I was elected. Gene had nothing to do with it. And I even screamed and yelled at Gene and the commissioner a few times in those meetings of the Alliance because of what per se that, they just wanted to take care of vested players. And I was like, no, I want all NFL players because I feel it's just such a huge honor to play in the NFL. And if you had a chance to go out there and risk the chance of getting injured, then you deserve some kind of benefit from it. And good, bad, and different, that's just the way I feel. And so everything that I've done, I've tried, you know, I want it for everybody. And that's how we've been able to work around non-vested players being able to get their joints replaced or whatever. And I'm going to keep trying to do what I can to help get benefits better for us in this new CBA that's coming up.
Yeah, and that's a good point. There is, as you know, the owners have opted out of the collective bargaining agreement. But there is some interesting news that came out recently. They're talking about, maybe negotiating a rookie wage scale or a cap on the amount a rookie can make, and with the money that they would save, actually be able to go back and increase retired player pensions. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that, get your thoughts on it, and just see where what you think is going to come out of that. Okay. Anyway, you're listening to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Don't even talk or use my
phone. Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Classes in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with Jeff Nixon. It's your turn to get in on today's discussion. Call Jeff now, toll-free, at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also drop an email to jeffnixon@aol.com. Now, back to the Jeff Nixon Sports Report.
Hey, welcome back to the Sports Report. This is Jeff Nixon, and my guest today is Cornelius Bennett. He is a good friend of mine. He played with the Buffalo Bills for almost 8 years, and then went to Atlanta, went to the Colts, and just had a tremendous career, was in five Pro Bowls. So anyway, we were right before the break there, Cornelius, we were talking a little bit about this rookie wage scale. Right now, the NFL and the National Football League Players Association have been negotiating And they've talked about, you know, reducing the amount of money that, and actually putting like a rookie wage scale. Like if you're the first pick in the draft, yeah, you can make so much money in bonus. And then if you're the 10th pick, you're going to make a little bit less, and to actually put a cap on it. And then with the money that they save from doing that, they were talking about boosting retired player pensions. Well, how do you feel about that? What do you think about this capping the rookie salaries?
Well, you know, I definitely think there should be something done about the rookies, you know, as far as the guaranteed money is concerned before they step on the field, because it takes away from, you know, the proven players, first of all.
Yeah, it does. It takes away from what the Mets can make.
Yeah, but in that $100 million that we're talking about, I mean, I'm again, you know, I've been real close to this thing, and if they become transparent again with the, you know, showing the financials to see where they're hurting and see if all of this talk is deserving, Jeff, then maybe that should be something that considered. But if it's just smoke, you know, smoke and mirrors that they're putting up, the $100 million to me is significant per se, but just to take back money and not put it back out there, you know, because who's to say that it shouldn't be more than $100 million, you know?
Let me say this, this is
$100 million.
Yeah, this is, they're just talking about an immediate, they're not saying this is the long-term solution.
Right.
They were talking about an immediate increase for, and they were talking about, like, you know, players that played from like 93 and back. At least that's what I heard. I could be wrong on that, but and again, I think it's a good thing to do, because they could, with some of the money they save, they could, you know, that money could go to help veteran players too, guys that have proven themselves over the years, and I think that's a good thing. But just to give you an example, last year Matthew Stafford, who was the first pick of the Detroit Lions, and he got $47.1 million up front, right, like you said, before he even put a foot on the football field. You know, I feel bad for the rookies that might be coming in this year if they do that, but hey, that's just life. That's the way it works.
It is exactly right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I, you know, until, you know, my whole thing is with the system. You know, I think pension should be increased across the board. You know, so we can get away from the stories of the guys living off X amount of dollars a month. You know, the $300-$500 a month. I think that should be something done about that. But for them to just implement a rookie wage scale and not, you know, this is just all talk about the $100 million or whatever. What comes with the $100 million? You know, what other concessions are they asking for? Because I'm sure it's much more than that. You know, they're going to put that on the table. What else besides the rookie wage scale are they trying to get back? Because, you know, they do want to try to get back. You know, the 61% that they're giving to the players, they do want some of that back. They feel like they got duped in the deal before, but you know, in my eyes, you know, they signed the deal, they have to live with it or whatever. And public perception is everything. You know, they're the power of the media. And what my one thing is that we were talking about off the air about, you know, the players, NFL alumni and the players association, the one thing that we have to do with the active players is band together to show, as you said off the air, the power of numbers. You know, if we stick together, I think that we can get the $100 million and not have to have the kind of concessions per se that they're talking about. Because when they tried to do this thing when I was playing, you know, they fooled themselves in my eyes when they started front end contracts with the rookies or whatever and wiping out 10-year veterans teams. Start losing, you know, you didn't have the success on the field because you were trying to go with so much, you know, so many young players or whatever. You have to have veteran leadership, and now they've gotten away from taking care of the veterans. You know, you can sign a big deal and get cut after 2 years, which I did my last two contracts. I didn't finish out either one of those contracts. So if they're going to guarantee the money on the backside, if you're lucky enough to play as long as I played, if they can guarantee it on the backside and not the front side, so be it. But the concession part of it, that's what I'm concerned about. I want to see the true concessions that they're asking besides the rookie wage scale.
Well, yeah, obviously that's, you know, we don't know all the details that are being worked out behind the scenes, but I will say this, you know, I've talked about this before, and I'm a big supporter of the NFL Alumni Association, because we recently got them to change a lot of their mission from, you know, just basically caring for kids, which is a great thing to do. I mean, I think it's great that, you know, different chapters throughout the United States raise money through golf tournaments to help kids. But we wanted to get back to the mission of helping retired players and make that the main focus and a key part of the focus of the organization. And then we were also able to hire for the first time a guy that actually played in the NFL, George Martin. And I think he's doing a tremendous job early on. And he has supported this rookie wage cap and this $100 million. And we're trying to see if what is it the NFL Players Association, why won't they back that? We're not sure why they're, because we did ask them that question, and they just kind of started pointing fingers at George, you know, saying, you know, well, you know, you're just saying this because you're, you know, with the owners. And I'm not sure, you know, how that's helping any of the matter at all.
Right.
But
I'm with you on that. I've been reading the blogs and what have you, but this is my personal opinion, not coming from anybody else but Cornelius Bennett. You know, I've said in the meetings with you know, trying to get other little small things done, those guys are sharp guys. They got the best lawyers in the world. And the $100 million, it's a significant amount of money, but I'm just one of those guys that believes that there's more.
There is.
And, you know, there's more for retired guys.
I agree with you on that, and I think that this is just the first step in it. I thought it was a good thing that they made that offer initially.
I don't think it's the end of it, though. Jeff, just dealing with it, I think it's a tremendous PR move on their behalf. When the tough times come with the negotiations, that they could say, you know, look, we've tried to do this for these, you know, for the guys or whatever. Dealing with it, man, it's just the business side of it. It stinks, you know. It stinks that we weren't taken care of a long time ago. But just, you know, the business side of it, man, it's just that's what it is, business. And they have the PR machine to control it the way they want to make the public believe that, you know, like we mentioned, Matthew Stafford. Look at these greedy athletes. You know, I mean, look what we're trying to do. You know, why won't they? You know, in this economy, they're still making billions of dollars a year.
Probably
one of the few businesses that are still making record numbers every year. I mean, it just keeps going up and up. Look at the price of a Super Bowl ticket. From my first Super Bowl, it was $125 was face value. Now probably about $800 to $1,000. I mean, so it just keeps going up and up and up. I mean, the money.
Well, yeah, I agree that, you know, this is, you know, this $100 million is just, you know, that's small potatoes in my mind. I'll be quite honest with you. I really think there is more money. And I agree that there should be transparency. The owners are going to have to, you know, if they're going to cry, you know, that the sky is falling, they got to show, you know, their money and what they're making. But you know what, Cornelius, I gotta close the show. We're getting down to the last few seconds here, but I really appreciate you coming on. Love to have you again on the show one of these days. You have a great time down there. I know you're not going to be watching going to the Super Bowl, but I know you'll be watching it, and I hope your Colts do a good job in the Super Bowl, man. It's great having you on the show.
All right. Hey, you and your wife, y'all keep up the good work up there in Buffalo in the community.
Hey, tell Kimberly I say hi. And Joy says hi to her, too.
All right, buddy.
All right, see you later.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Join us every Monday at 5 o'clock.
Thanks again for participating in an engaging discussion of football on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report with former Buffalo Bill Jeff Nixon. Join us again next Monday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network. Some of my boys say I'm too far gone.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.